Welcome to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Knowing that ultimately it's God who does the healing, Dr. Medici acts as the maestro, orchestrating a person's health through right timing and right therapies, using traditional, natural, alternative, and spiritual practices. Dr. Medici says it's time for people to wake up to their innate potential to heal and to be given a doctor who can orchestrate that healing. Dr. Medici is currently working toward his PhD in biochemistry at Long Beach University and is a licensed chiropractor with additional study in acupuncture, kinesiology, and quantum medicine. He's the curriculum director of the Santa Monica Shiatsu School and the clinic director at the Premier Center in Santa Monica, where he treats many famous names in Hollywood under nationally recognized Premier Labs owner and CEO Dr. Robert Marshall. Got a health question? Ask Dr. Medici live today on Straight Talk on Health. And now, here's Dr. Medici.
Good morning, my friends. Today we're going to celebrate motherhood. We're going to get into the ups and downs of it, something I've experienced as a doctor very intently. Curious to me, at the turn of the century, the number one cause of death was either birthing a child or the mom died during childbirth. Interesting statistics. In the 1940s in China, that is mainland China, 9 out of 10 women died at childbirth, or 9 out of the 10 children died at childbirth. Traditionally, people would look at women, and common in the dialogue was, you know, Sally, you have childbearing hips. A woman was looked at a certain time in American history and world history as whether or not those hips would support a baby. And of course, this was so critical because this predates when we had cesareans and episiotomies, et cetera, et cetera. If the baby couldn't fit on the way out, it was either turned by a midwife, and that's an art we'll talk about later, or what happened is the woman just tore, and sometimes she tore all the way, and we'll get into that later. But the point is that mothers that birth children go through changes in their body that are enormous, and I don't think that's recognized enough, even in American society today. Well, it kind of is if I ask you the question, can you consider your daughter or granddaughter having 6 to 10 kids? Now think about that. There was a time when it was somewhat normal. My grandmother, being of Italian heritage, coming here to America in 1914, birthed a total of 10 children. 7 of those children died within the first year in Italy. And then upon transport to America on the boat, as an immigrant, like many of us, she came here and birthed 3 children. But 7 died. Think of that. Think of what a child's really about. And I hope the men are listening, because men kind of think you do it, and then all of a sudden, 9 months later, the baby appears. And what's not the case? If you really understand what a mother gives to a child, from the time the sperm meets the egg to the time that baby's 7, 8 years old, it's enormous. It is its own triple volume of inquiry and understanding. Now, the key is what we take joy in, what I take joy in, is when I can have a mom 2 years before she even wants to have a baby. If I can find a woman in her 20s or 30s, a couple of years, product of what appears to be a healthy marriage, lots of love and harmony, not a lot of stress, and take that mom 2 years before she wants to get pregnant, and we go to work on her. We clean that body from A to B all the way to Z, everything known. I did this to Rachel, my lovely Rachel. She worked with me for 7 years. She managed the health center. She'll be back in February, hopefully, treating patients. She's not going to manage anymore. She's birthed 3 beautiful boys, all 3 of them powerhouses. And 2 of those 3, I had the wonderful opportunity of supervising. Yes, from the day she's pregnant to supervise that pregnancy. But I had a couple of years with her prior to her last 2 children to get her strong. what you watch a woman go through, what we call morning sickness. Now, this is Henry Beeler. I want to introduce a book, Henry Beeler, Food is Your Best Medicine. Famous medical doctor down in the Southland out of the 20s. Famous book, Henry Beeler, B-I-E-L-E-R, Food is Thy Best Medicine. Commentary that definitely backs up science. Very rooted in science. Morning sickness is detox. Morning sickness is the liver not being able to handle all the poisons that the mom is trying to clear for her body so they don't divert to the fetus. It's way more than hormonal shifts, way more. And even if it is hormonal shifts, to whatever extent it's hormonal shifts, it's up to the good old liver. Something, if you've listened to this show, you know much about. It's up to the good old liver to denature, transaminate, just do its alchemical magic with all those crazy hormonal shifts around pregnancy. So either way, law number one, a woman's morning sickness is nothing more than detox. And I can tell the ones that are going to go through hormonal hell during pregnancy long before they go into it. Hyperemesis. Ladies, you know what that is. Ladies, you know women who have had such a difficult time during that 9 months that they almost wanted to stop the pregnancy. And yes, sometimes for medical reasons, the hyperemesis is so bad it will threaten the life of the child, threaten the life of the mother. And sometimes you have to. But what's that all about? Whether you've had morning sickness for 4 weeks or you've had it for 9 months, it relates to your liver's ability to pull out the poisons. So if a woman's got a weak liver, and that's a whole other conversation, if she's not strong in the liver, she's going to have a tougher time. If she's extraordinarily toxic, if she's coming off years of drugs and typical American lifestyles, you know, there's a reason most women today would cringe at the thought of 8 to 10 kids. Not all, but most. I mean, it's inconceivable. You look at young women today go through one child, let alone that discussion. I was in a store the other day and speaking to the store owner who I've known for 10 years, and she was really, in a sense, beside herself because her 22-year-old can't get pregnant. And what was the reason? Endometriosis. But that was the reason that just in that conversation I understood. Endometriosis is a product of severe hormonal imbalance whereby you actually grow uterine tissue outside the uterus. And it's indicative of grave hormonal imbalance. But the topper to the story is that the woman didn't even understand that the reason that her child was having such a difficult time was the endometriosis. Because the child had had endometriosis and she was on the birth control pill years ago, since she was 16 years old. So I'm talking to a mom in a store. She's beside herself because her newly married child can't get pregnant. And no one, including the MD, and these people get good health care, are making the connection between the endometriosis and the problem with getting pregnant. That's all over the place today. Bone structure. That'll sound like it's coming from left field, I know. But you know what we're making more of than ever today? And it relates to the lack of fertility in the soil. We're making weaker kids. I know that's going to get some people upset. But that's what's happening. How are we not going to pay the price for such poorly fertilized soil? Now, that evidence is mounting and clearly points to that reality. So you're feeding from what's in your breast milk to what's in your genes. You're feeding your system inferior quality food, not to mention air, not to mention water, not to mention every other thing that 35 shows have talked about. And so what do we birth? We birth children, and they are smaller in the bone structure, the jaws, are not as wide and thick. The bones are not as sturdy. Narrow heads. You know what a narrow head is at birth? It's a weaker baby. You know what a narrow head is in the population? It's a weaker person. If you study the medical anthropology and you dare to go back 100, 200 years ago and you look at the faces, everyone looks like a pit bull. Think about it. Think about grandpa, grandma, the ones that came here, the ones that went through the Depression. They're barely around today, but they're still around. Think of your memories. If you're over the age of 50, think of your memories of your great-grandparents. Tough, thick, strong. Bones, powerful. The bone is the health of the child. The bone represents the fertility of the soil. The bone represents the fertility of the parents. And the bone is manifesting in narrower hips. We're not making as many women with childbearing hips. In fact, what's very interesting is childbearing hips are not quite the aesthetic landmark anymore. The full-bodied woman has fallen out of favor. Obviously, how can that be argued? Perhaps not pleasant to hear, but how can that be argued when your average model, pick up your magazines from Vanity Fair across the board, it's the female with the narrow hips. That's the model. So what's that telling our children? Small, tight hips are what it's all about. We don't need to get into whatever that's all about. But the bottom line is for birthing children, those hips don't work. You've got to have a lot of other skills to birth children when those hips are that narrow. And traditionally, over the years, 200 years ago, before you married, your grandmother would come up to you and say, you know, I know you're in love, but those hips ain't going to bear kids. And that's the way people thought. They understood it from the farm. They understood it in the language of their culture. Fascinating. And fascinating to understand that the bone structures are narrowing every decade in America. If you can't get pregnant, if you can't get pregnant,